So throughout the course of this sermon series, I've had trouble finding certain jokes about certain apparel items. Like, there are very few jokes about, like, a breastplate, and very few jokes about, like, belts. But the Word of God, oh my goodness. There's a lot of play on words, so here's two of them. Why did the unemployed man suddenly get excited as he was looking through the Bible? In it, he thought he saw a job. Job, job, get it? Look in it. It's right before Psalms. All right, here's another one. Lots of Noah's Ark jokes, by the way. What animal on the ark could Noah not trust? You know who it was or what it was? It was the cheetah. I'm glad to hear those groans. Yes. Means you understood it. Yes. All right. So, hey, by the way, next week you get a week off because it's Youth Sunday, so I won't be doing jokes next week. But this is the... Yeah, groan. Yeah. That's probably me. All right. So this is the last of the sermon series on the armor of God that the Apostle Paul has brought to us. A final review. This letter to the church in Ephesus, this letter to the Ephesians, was written around 62 A.D., undeniable, Paul wrote it. It originally went to the church in Ephesus, and then they recopied it and sent it out. So that makes it a Catholic letter, a universal letter, a letter for all of us, of all times, all places. In it, it's mainly focused on relationships. The relationship we have with God. The relationship we have with others. The relationship of significant, like husband, wives, or things like employers, employees, they call it slave and masters there, parents and children, each of those are in there. It talks about what do you do when you're in conflict, because there's that relationship as well. And then what do you do with the relationship that you might find with someone you know is not a good person, or that there's you appear that it seems that there's evil in them. So as we go through this, we've found from the different pieces of the armor, it prepares us for each of these relationships, specifically the ones in which we find, wow, this is a scary place to be. We start off with the belt. Not the first thing I put on in the morning, but it's the first thing we put on in the armor of God because it's the belt of truth. You need, in order to function in this world today, truth. Without truth, you make bad decisions. Without truth, you go the wrong way. Without truth, and you can run down the whole list, it's not a good place if you don't have truth as the core of who you are. Second item we put on is the breastplate. The breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate covers this, our chest cavity. And mainly, it covers our heart. So in a soldier, like this one we have before us, it would cover anything trying to pierce its heart, his heart. Whereas for us, the breastplate covers our spiritual heart, because we put on righteousness, which means we're going to live according to God's way. By putting that on us and living that way, we guard ourselves, literally guarding our heart against those forces that will seek to drag us away. Third item we put on is shoes. For me, once again, it's one of the last items I've put on. But these shoes are, what are you doing to make you ready to share the gospel? And these shoes are like a way in which we look at another person, where we see them with value. We see that they're made in the image. They're made in God's likeness. Now, the moment we put that on is how we treat another person differently. Because we think they're dirty scumbags, oh, we'll treat them that way. But if we think at the core of who they are, they're God-made, what a difference in how we treat them. That's the shoes of good news. Then the shield that we pick up is a shield of faith. And the shield is your creation. Now, interestingly enough, the shield of the units would have been based on what kind of unit you were in. So you could see by looking at the emblem on the shield which unit you were with. But our shield is faith. So if you have faith that's riddled with doubts and you allow it to be riddled with doubts, you build a shield about 1 inch tall. And the end result is those fiery darts will still come zooming in. You can't stop them. So our responsibility is to build our faith. Build it in such a way that the end result is we have a shield that covers us from nose to toes. That means we'll guard against anything that comes the way from the evil one. Last week we looked at the helmet, which sits obviously on the head, but it's a helmet of salvation. And it's to protect our mind from those thoughts that drag us away. So our mind set on salvation is a mind then set on those godly things, which means then we're focused on what God would want us to do and what God would have us do. Today, we're looking at the last item, that's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the only offensive weapon the Apostle Paul has given to us. Strange as this may sound, the soldier in his day and time would have had three separate offensive weapons. One would have been the javelin or the spear. He would have carried like two of them. One would have been the little dagger that sits on the side. In case your sword gets knocked out of your hand, you still have something to fight with. And the third one we're looking at today is the traditional Roman sword known as the gladius. Interestingly enough, over in Hebrews, I read as well today, it's referenced as sword. That the Word of God is like a sword that has two cutting edges, a double-edged sword. So sharp is this sword, it can cut through bone and marrow. And then it can cut through all your thoughts and intentions. It can cut through whatever you may put up as an excuse why you can't serve. The Roman gladius that we have as the item that the Apostle Paul asked us to look at would have been about 2.5, 2 foot long, give or take. Weighed about 2 pounds. It was sharp on both sides. And the reason why it was sharp on both sides is so that if you made a cut, you can make a cut back. So whether you're going left or right, up or down, you have a fighting surface on both sides of the sword. And the reason for that, the power is so that it can be alive. All your actions can be alive. You're not like, oh, good action, now what do I do? Bring it back. Nope, good action, good action. Now the Word of God is described that way, as being alive, as being active, that it can cut through every bit of who we are. Here's where this power is coming from. Paul wrote in Timothy, the second letter, the last letter he wrote, by the way. In 2 Timothy, he said, all Scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The reason why the Word of God is active is because God breathed Himself into it. So the Bible you have is not a dusty old book. The Bible you have is endowed with the Spirit of God. As a result of this, it is more powerful. It is way different than any tweet you may put out, or any tweet that anybody else may put out. It is more powerful than any Facebook post you put up there about your children, your pets, whatever you may be eating, you know, those chocolate delightful things. All right? Even though those are fun to look at and try, the Word of God is way more powerful than any of that. It's more powerful than any quote I can bring your way or any statement you can make. Because all those are human-breathed. Whereas the Word of God, it's God-breathed. Now, interestingly enough, the reason why this relates to us so much is because in us, to animate our soul, God breathed into us. In Genesis chapter 2, God makes the humans in chapter 1 big thought. Chapter 2 details. And how did we get to be who we are? God breathed His Spirit into us. So when we read the Bible, the Spirit that God breathed into us and the Spirit we see in the Scripture connect. And as a result of that connection, it becomes alive for us. Let me give you an example. A missionary in India challenged one of the non-believers to read the New Testament. Start with Matthew, go all the way through the end Jude if you wanted to read Revelation. After a few weeks, the unbeliever comes back to the missionary and he was angry but not. He said, you tricked me. And the missionary said, what do you mean? He said, that book that I was reading, you asked me to read, tells me every bit about who I am. All my dirty little thoughts, all my angry little actions, tells me all about myself. And this is where it turned then. He said, also tells me about how I can find life. And with that, then, they had a further discussion, and the man from India became a believer in Jesus. That's the power of the Scripture, because that Word speaks to our heart. It speaks to our soul. It's alive and active because it tells us who we are. And then it tells us why other people do what they do and why they're cruel and mean to us. It shows us how to deal with the conflict we find in ourselves and the conflict we have with other people. It demonstrates at a very deep knowledge level of how we're to function in this world. And as a result of that, there's strength that comes pouring to us as a result of reading the Scripture. Now, we think about this so much. We've given you a variety of ways this year to deal with this. On that back table there, right as you leave, we have Scripture in a Year, chronological. We also have those help pages. Like, you're stuck in a situation and you don't know where to go in the Bible to find an appropriate verse. We have those back there. And then, last week we added, because we're in Lent, family devotions for the season of Lent. Pick them all up. They're sitting there for your benefit, so that you can be infused with what God has intended for you. Now, what does this mean? Okay, so, the reason why you have to do daily scripture reading, daily focus on it, is because that's how it infuses into us. That's how it permeates into us. So, for instance, if you were a weightlifter, and I go to Planet Fitness once every, like, forever, okay? I have to admit, and my body demonstrates I go once and forever. I don't get it. Why can't I go once and all of a sudden, boom, I'm jacked? You know why? That's not how it works. How do you get to be a body that looks like Schwarzenegger? Okay? You have to go consistently and immerse yourself in weightlifting. Let me give you another example. I wanted to lose weight at the beginning of the year, okay? All of us did. January 1, what's our big thing? Hey, you know what? Christmas came and went. I ate way too much at Christmas. Thanksgiving, way too much at Thanksgiving. I'm going to lose weight. So I went on a diet for a day. I lost 0 pounds until I took my shoes off. And I'm like, look, I lost 2 pounds there. When I go in the doctor's, I'm always saying, can I take my shoes off to show how much little I do weigh? Now, and the reason why it doesn't work is because that's not immersion in your diet. You need to be immersed in your diet to be able to lose the weight. Let me give you a third one. Baseball's arrived. Yay! By the way, do you know baseball is mentioned in the Bible? Oh, yeah. Right in the first verse, it says, in the big inning. Not only that, but who stole first? Eve. I don't know how you steal first, but she did. Who stole second? Adam. And then it said that Cain struck out Abel. The last part of the joke I don't get. I'm going to give it to you. If you understand it, tell me later. It says, the giants and the angels were rained out. I don't get that one. But it's in the joke, so I gave it to you. But the point about this is, baseball's coming. I've played baseball most of my life. I've played softball most of my adult life. And what do we have before softball season starts? You have to go to practice. In order to be good again, you have to go to practice. I'm thinking, whoa, wait, I've trained. I can go there and just walk on the field and do it, right? I've seen me when I just walk on the field and do it. I look horrible. Because I'm not permeated into it. This is why the Bible doesn't say read it one day and you're done. It says you have to be immersed in the Scripture. Just like I can't get a jacked body one day at the gym, I can't lose my weight one day on my diet, I cannot be good at softball based on one moment, you have to be immersed in it. So daily reading's not quite enough. You have to study it. You have to have an intention, I'm going to study this stuff. I want to know, why did Paul write this? Why did this say, Matthew write this? I want to know what's deeper. And the moment that happens is you will be transformed. Because that spirit within you that God breathed in and the spirit in the Scripture will connect. And your heart will be transformed. You'll be a living, walking example of Jesus Christ. The end result then is all the relationships you have will be transformed. You'll be living Ephesians faith. The faith that the Apostle Paul put in Ephesians. Now, where does this come into play? Scripture immersion is mainly geared for our temptations. When Jesus was in the wilderness, 40 days before he started his public ministry, he got baptized and the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. While he's in the wilderness, he gets tempted. He was hungry. He was tempted to turn the stones into bread. He told Satan, no, man does not live on bread alone. He was tempted to test God. Jump off the temple. The angels will protect you. Jesus said, no, you shouldn't test the Lord your God. He was tempted to worship Satan himself. And Jesus said, no, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He countered every one of his temptations with Scripture. Because there is the living, breathing God we know. In the Scripture to counteract the temptations that come our way. Let me give you some current examples. A boyfriend may come up to you and says, oh, if you don't do this, I'll leave you. And this, you fill in the category of what this may be. Realize that God's already said, I love you deeper than anyone can love you. Or if you're worried about your future, oh my goodness, I don't know if I'll, this will be in the future. And you're all worked up about it. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That assurance. If you have problems and you're like, why, Lord, are all these problems coming my way? You must hate me. Jesus gave us a reality check and said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. You may be tempted to do things you shouldn't do, like go to pornography, or do things that you know with that heightened sexuality you shouldn't be doing. Peter said that we should be holy as God is holy. We might have low self-esteem because of the things that came in our past, and God said, I made you in the image. We might have experienced a death and say, oh Lord God, what am I going to do with this death? God said, through Jesus, blessed are they who mourn, I will comfort you. There's power in this sword because there's power in the Word of God. Power to face our temptations and power to live a different form of living. The last piece that the Bible tells us to do is we're not just to do this here. We're to do this so that we can bring good work to the world. That's what it said in that 2 Timothy passage. So that the end result of Scripture immersion is that we're equipped for every good work out there. And one of the ways in which we do that is we address the issues of the poor. You know, I can't go to Africa and build a well, but I can give to the One Great Hour Sharing Offering, and there a well is built. I can't go to the places in the Midwest where all this flooding is because I live here, but I can give the One Great Hour Sharing Offering, and there they'll rehabilitate those homes. And during the course of the children's sermon for the next few weeks, you'll hear other places this offering goes. But we're called that out of our blessings to give so those who don't have can have. You know, interestingly enough, we're also called to make a difference with our words. We have a very deep divide in our country today. There's a lot of discord out there. A lot of pointing fingers both ways. And we need, for us, to be the voice of reason. To be able to lift up, because we've been immersed in the Scripture, a way through of showing forth love and light to those who want to argue without solutions. That's the power of the Word of God. That it brings about the ability for us to speak the truth and always do it in love. Now, for the ending, I'm going to use verse 18. I don't know if you all remember what verse 18 was in Ephesians chapter 6. But it's interesting that, you know, Billy Graham died this week, and I was looking for an ending. And one of the pieces, I saw an interview for him, of him. And they asked him, about 10 years ago, if he could do it all over again, what would he do? And I'm thinking, wow, Billy Graham spoke to millions of people. You know, in our generation, in our world, who's the greatest evangelist? It would be probably, you know, he would be listed up there. And he didn't say, I would speak there, I would do this. His comment, if he could do it all over again, what would he do? He said, I'd pray more. And the power of this Scripture immersion is that we pray. That this power of Scripture immerses us in such a way that we are changed people. That we're grounded in what Scripture asks us to do, regardless of the consequences. That we're going to do what the Bible asks us to do. And as a result of praying, that praying without ceasing, we give an incredible picture to the world. That's what it means to put on this armor of God. That we're going to show to the world the power of what God can do through Jesus in a human life. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, Lord God, for the ability to pray. And I pray for all those who are here today. May you continue to draw them deeper into your Scriptures, immerse their minds and their souls and their bodies and their strength in such a way that they're acting, they're living, they're walking with your Son, Jesus. We're grateful, Lord, that you call us to be more than what we are. You call us to go from being sinners to saints. And we can only do that when we're grounded in your love. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.